Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, there's something that's a common theme here. And that common theme is that you are a spiritual force. You are a spiritual force. You're a team of people to be reckoned with. That there's something that's going on in your lives that is beginning to change. And as it changes, it will begin to make manifest the destiny of God through you. But you are a spiritual force. We have to come to a place where we recognize what is in us. Because as we recognize what is in us, then we can truly recognize who our God is. Because as we recognize what's in us, then we can recognize where we're going. As we recognize what's in us, what God is doing in our lives, and what the purpose of this Christian faith that we carry is, when we recognize those things, then we can understand what it is that God wants to accomplish. Because see, each and every one of us has a destiny. Each and every one of us has somewhere that we need to be going. Each and every one of us has someone that we can reach out to. Each and every one of us has someone who we can make the difference in their life. Sometimes that difference is simply showing up and knocking on their door. Sometimes that difference is being at the other end of a telephone when they have a need. Sometimes that difference is somebody that you just bump into at work and you say, "Hey, let me talk to you. Let me share something that's in my life." But we have the ability to make a difference. We have the ability to make an eternal difference. It's not just make somebody's single day go better, but you can make eternity better. So many different ways to go this morning. I'm just wanting to just be real sensitive to where he's at and what he wants me to do. Let's just go to Romans. We'll go to Romans 13 for a moment. Hallelujah. And we see in verse 9, as we finish out verse 9, it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 10 says, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law." Love is the fulfillment of the law. So that which we do, which is love, is actually that which fulfills all of the law. That's the thing that he's been trying to get across to us. And the thing that we came to come to in place of understanding is just how much Father God loves you. Just how much Father God loves you. And because he loves you, then it allows you to be able to carry that love forward to someone else. He has a love for you, and every person in this place, every person by the sound of this mic, he has a love for you. He's crazy in love for you. You can have just as much of God as you want. That's kind of an amazing thing to think about, but you can have just as much of God as you want. Do you realize that the love of God is nearer to you than your problem? The love of God is nearer to you than every situation in your life. The love of God is nearer to you than the person who's sitting next to you. He said, "Well, prove it, Pastor." 2 Corinthians 6. It says right here, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. "I will dwell with them, and I will walk in them." That's the Father. Guess what the Father is? That's love. The Father is love. So he's saying right now, "I'm walking in you." If he's walking in you, then the problem that I have is something that's external to me. But God and his love is internal to me. That means that God and his love is internal to me. And that means that he is closer, his love is closer to me than the issue that is at hand. Than whatever it is that's been attacking me, whatever's been coming against me, whatever's been trying to terrorize me, his love is actually closer to me than that thing which has been coming against me. Because when we understand that, now it begins to change our reaction and our response. Because our response can come from this which is right next to our heart. When we become aware of how close God's love is to us, now we can begin to understand a different way of dealing with the situation around us. It doesn't mean that things won't continue to come at you, but it means that your response can be different. Because your response now comes out of an understanding, first and foremost, is this love is right next to me. Because first and foremost, God's love is right there in your heart. It's right there next to you. As you can see that He wants to walk in you, the only way He can walk in you is to be within you. Sounds pretty basic. But why do we miss it? God's love is there within you. The very Creator, and all of His love is within you. That's how much He's crazy in love with you. The only thing that's keeping you out of the very right hand of God, the very understanding and step of His presence, is your willingness to believe. See, if you believe that there's something that's going to come against between you and God, then that's what happens. But if you're willing to believe that, you know what? He's so in love with me, I'm just stepping in. I'm just stepping in. I'm going to be with Him. Because He's so in love with me that even if there's something wrong with me, even if there's an issue that I've done and I've committed, I can still step in with Him and He'll deal with that. He'll deal with that out of a heart of gold, out of a heart of goodness towards me. He'll deal with that out of whatever it takes to deal with it, but He'll come and accept me just as I am. He'll come and draw near to me simply because I decided to draw near to Him. That's all the farther you are away from God. You're one thought away. You're one thought away. One thought away from being able to appreciate His presence. One thought away from being able to understand His desire for you. One thought away from the covering of the Father in your life. Are you willing to embrace it? Are you willing to embrace this God who loved you so much that He gave of Himself? Who loved you so much that He gave all that He could enough to make the change? Enough to make it available? There's something there that happens when we begin to embrace Him that way. And as we begin to embrace Him that way, then what we are doing, it says in chapter 7, verse 1, it says we're perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Because now, when we truly fear the Lord, we'll come next to Him. When we fear the Lord, then the fear of the Lord there is having an awesome, an awe and a reverence for Him. Having an understanding and a willingness to embrace who He really is. Because when we truly embrace who He is, now we can come and come next to Him. See, some people want to create a fear in a point of terror, and that's not the kind of fear that God's looking for. He's looking for that from His enemies. He creates that for His enemies. But He's not looking at from you. When you decided that you wanted to be saved, when you decided that you wanted to be in His camp, when you decided that you wanted to accept this gift that He has, then He's no longer an enemy, and now He wants to draw you close. Because He's not afraid of you. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I got this issue over here. God couldn't possibly accept. No, He's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of that issue either. He knows that no matter what it is your past, see, no matter what it is your past was, He said the past is still history. And what I'm accepting is who you are. Who you'll come and allow yourself to be in me. What I'm accepting is who you'll allow me to make you into. We don't have to accept the limit of what the past said. We can begin to embrace right now, right here, with Him. We're not perfecting holiness out of our works, but out of our choice. It's not about our effort. It's about the choice. Because when we make that choice to embrace Him, when we make that choice to believe Him, when He says the work of the Lord is to believe, that's the only work that we're looking for, is to believe God. Because when we believe God, that's what I started out saying, is when we'll believe God, we can have Him right now, right here. Right within us. When we believe Him and take Him at His word, suddenly this saying becomes apparent. And your access becomes clear. When we just believe Him. Say, Lord, whatever it is between me and You, Lord, whatever thing that I've thrown up as an internal roadblock, Lord, I just choose to let that go. I choose to let that guard down. You know, sometimes we've lived a life and we've had disappointments, and I don't know about you, but I think I've come across a few. And we've had these disappointments, and see, those disappointments stand in the way of faith, because see, God didn't respond in the way we thought He would, or this person didn't do what they said they were going to do, or whatever it is, it makes it hard for us to understand the true nature of the Father. But when we begin to understand God for who He really is, we understand that we're not responsible for perfecting our holiness. We're not responsible for doing anything but just simply believe and come into His presence. Believe and accept what He said about us. Hallelujah. When we accept God, we accept this mandate that He's put within us, this presence that He's given us, then we truly find fatherhood. We truly find fatherhood. We find what it really means to have a father. What it means to have someone who not only adores you, but is willing to be there for you. Someone who's willing to accept you the way you are, but also give you the tools to grow and mature with. Who will nurture, and even as they set boundaries around you to make it safe. Someone who will do all those things that maybe our natural parent didn't do. But someone who will continuously reiterate their love for you. When we understand that nature, we understand that there's nothing to hold back from. When we understand this nature, we can understand that now there's a real reason for true hope. There's a real reason for true hope. A real reason, because see, hope is that which is the substance out of which faith is made of. So we understand that true hope, we can step into His mighty presence. And going back to Romans 13. It said, verse 11, "And this do, knowing the time is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed." Now we can understand salvation is nearer to us. It's not just an event that happens one time in your life. Salvation, Jehovah God, is nearer to you. When we say Jesus, we're saying Jehovah is my salvation. It's nearer to us. As we understand that He's nearer to us, then it says here in verse 12, "The night is almost gone. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off or lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." And it goes on to list some things there in the next verse that are darkness. But I want to submit to you that darkness is anything that's not God's love. If it's not God's love, then it's some portion of darkness. No matter how good it might look or how wonderful it might seem, if it's not God's love, if it's not part of God's love, it's darkness. Because that's what He's saying. Love fulfills the law. Love brings the fulfillment of the law. But those other things, they're just darkness. When we're accepting some version of Christianity that's less than God's love, then we're accepting darkness. When you're accepting some version of Christianity that says it's all about just keeping the Ten Commandments, you're actually accepting darkness. And people are going to stone me for that. But this is a New Testament and a new covenant. See, those Ten Commandments were there to show you who God is. It was not there to be your New Testament creation. Because see, now what's supposed to happen is within us, the love of God begins to issue up within us and come out through us. And no longer do we need the Ten Commandments because, see, there shouldn't be anything in us any longer. When we've truly accepted who God is, I don't need somebody to tell me, thou shalt not steal, because I'm not interested in stealing anymore. I don't need somebody to tell me, thou shalt not kill, because I'm not interested in killing anymore. Anymore, yeah. You get the point. We're all saved, right? Because whatever it is, whatever the issue was that God was trying to show you, that all I'm really looking for, what I'm looking for is for you to be a manifested person of my love. A manifested example of who I am. All the commandments were simply there to draw you into the place of knowing and seeing your need for Him and seeing that out of all this, it comes down to just love. When I walk in His love, then I'm going to walk in that which is good for my neighbor. When I walk in love, I'm going to walk in that which is good for my spouse. Most of the issues that we have with our spouse are really about our own selfishness, and that's not love. That's that other thing, which is some form of darkness. When we exhibit selfishness, we're exhibiting something other than love. I'm hearing amens from some and oh me from others, but that's okay. We've all been on both sides of that deal, I think. So, but the deal is if we'll understand what's our nature and what is our character, and if we'll understand the character of love, then we'll be able to reach into something that ministers to that person's need. Where we can come alongside someone and help them rather than abuse them. But understanding the nature, understanding that when we cast off the unfruitful work of darkness, cast off that work of darkness, now we can begin to put on the armor of light. In other words, the revelation of His love. The armor of light is the revelation of the love of God. Because see, when I put on the love of God, now suddenly I've got something that equips me, both shelters me and gives me an offensive tool. Because if you don't believe it, just go and react to someone who's being ugly with love. And you'll see it becomes an offensive tool. Their reaction is going to be up to them. But you know, sometimes your ability to walk in love will settle their irrationality. Your ability to respond in kindness and in wholeness. Because what happens when somebody gets upset with us, what do we normally respond out of? We respond out of our own brokenness instead of the wholeness of God. And see, if we're truly operating in the love of God, then we're operating out of a wholeness of heart. And no longer out of our own brokenness. When we operate that way, suddenly there's an operation that changes and something goes into effect that no longer are we trying to respond to the other driver who just cut us off with more hand signals. But we're blessing and releasing. We're releasing a covenant blessing into their life. I was telling somebody about this the other day, I don't remember. Used to just pray every day as I was going to work and as I would be going down 290 and getting on 610, and I'd just be releasing everybody who passed me. I'd be releasing the peace of God to fill the cab, and if they didn't know Him or if they'd gotten away from Him, for a place and an area of repentance. It was a place of repentance to just fill their car, fill the cab of their truck. Because I wanted them to be able to experience what I was experiencing. And so as I was doing this, I had been doing this for several months, and as I released it for several months, one day I just had this thought, why are you doing this? And interestingly enough, that night, there was a lady who came to church service that I was at, and she gets up there and she jumps up there, and I don't know that she even had an invitation. I think she just made herself known, and the pastor didn't really have much of a way. And he said, I just got to come here, and I just got to announce before the church that I was on 610 right at 290 at 8 o'clock in the morning, right when I would have been there. And she said, the glory of God filled my car. The glory of God filled my car to such a degree that I had gotten away from Him, and I had to come here and just say, I'm getting it right with Him now. So I had to pull over on the side of the road, which is exactly what I prayed. That I had to pull over on the side of the road and get it right with God because I couldn't even go on. But I needed to make it a public profession of what God is doing in my life tonight. See, He lets you know. He gives you that affirmation, that confirmation that you're making a difference when you begin to extend love. She might have been one of those people who cut me off. But you extend love and you make a difference. You make a difference. When you're in Colombia and you extend love, when they've shot you, and you tell them, just come and sit and let's talk, then a testimony is put in front of them they can't deny. They can't deny. A testimony is set in front of them because we would be there in the evening time and we would just pray outside, and sometimes there were bullets that go off, and then people were just doing their craziness. We just sit there and pray. And the testimony went forth with those young men. Enrique went and visited one of them in the hospital one time, and he said, you know, I know we've always talked about you as a man of steel. Because it didn't matter what we were doing, you just sit there and pray. And he wanted to know how you did that. See, now, the testimony of love has given you a way to share the gospel. The testimony of love has given you an opening into somebody's heart that goes beyond just mere words. And sometimes that's what God is looking for in us. Hopefully you don't all have to sit there in that situation. But you can know the love of God will bring a testimony that can change not only your life, but the life of another. It changes lives. Because He's put something in you that's an answer for somebody else. You are a spiritual force. And because there's a spiritual force within you, then you can be the answer for someone else's need. Because there's a spiritual force in you, you can sit and declare the voice of God and the declaration of God and know that the atmosphere will change. Because you are a spiritual force, you can declare to your life and know that it's going to change. It might not be where you want it today, but it's not going to stay there because you are a spiritual force and you have to be reckoned with. And the enemy has no choice. He has to back down. He has to respond because the name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name. When we understand that and we stand in the confidence of that, then we don't ever have to be ashamed. We can change the atmosphere by the testimony of Jesus. We can change the atmosphere by letting this love become manifest in us and through us. We can change the atmosphere by accepting Daddy God for who He is. And allowing that change to me to deal with the hurts and the brokenness of the past. You are a spiritual force. Coming on down to Romans 14, verse 17. And it says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is he signifying here? He's signifying that it's not about a bunch of Old Testament observances. It's not about just observing the law. It's about allowing the kingdom of God to be made manifest in us. And you say, how come the word love and how come the word faith aren't here? Well, how come the kingdom of God's not about faith? How come it's not about love? Because love is what draws you in. Love is what draws you in to the kingdom of God. Love is what makes it possible. Faith is the vehicle that takes you there. But the kingdom of God stands in righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is something that can't be earned. It's something that's given as a gift. It's given as a gift. Back up to Romans 5 and 17 for just a second. For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. See, so righteousness is a gift, and it is because it's a gift, it's also something that will cause you to reign in life. It unseats, righteousness unseats unrighteousness. Righteousness unseats the sin and iniquity. Righteousness takes all those things and sweeps it to the side and saying, I'm going to account this to you. Because of the gift and the actions of my Son upon the cross, because of what Jesus did for you, I'm going to take this thing that was against your life and I'm going to set it to the side. And I'm going to count you as righteous. When we see righteousness in this way, we understand righteousness becomes the foundation of our relationship with God. The foundation of a relationship, because when we understand the relationship, it always is based in righteousness. What is righteousness? It's simply this right standing with God. Right standing with the Lord. When we understand it that way, then that's why it becomes the foundation of our relationship. Because when we come into righteousness, when we come into our right standing with the Lord, now we've come into a place where it's His desire for us to be with Him. Because we're in right standing, I no longer have to fear Him in a tormented way. I no longer have to fear Him in a terrorized way. I can begin to fear Him in a way of amazement and adoration. Because now He's made it evident to me His choice and His election for me. But we'll reign in life. You reign in life through righteousness, because when you're in right standing, that makes you what? Makes you an heir, a son, a daughter. When you're an heir, now you begin to reign, because that's what a son of a king does. Now you begin to stand over the problem instead of the problem standing over you. Now you begin to recognize your true position and authority. And you do so simply because love gives you the mandate. I'm going to turn this AC down. Hallelujah. Righteousness becomes the compass to His will. The compass that draws you into His will. The peace of God. The peace of God comes because now, finally, after you've understanding, you've discovered this love and you discovered He's given you this righteousness, this accountability to walk in His presence. Now, all of a sudden, those other things that were separating you from God are at peace. And that's probably more important than anything else. When the thing that was separating you from God is resolved in His love, when it's resolved in the righteousness that He counted for you, there's a peace that comes forward that can't come any other way. There's a peace that comes forward that resolves the other issue. And another thing is that it actually begins to release the enemy's ability to torment you. When we have the peace of God on us, that means that the handle that the enemy was using against us is cut off. It's cut off. Whatever the enemy was using to cause you to be out of peace means that he was using it to take you out of sync with him, and it means that he no longer has that ability to do that because now you've discovered peace. Peace is not about the circumstance. Peace is about the spiritual force that's in you. Because see, righteous peace and joy are each a spiritual force that to be reckoned with, a spiritual force that's in you, a spiritual force that is released to bring you into the manifested destiny that God is for you. But peace is that what gives you the ability to walk in a place where the enemy is not in control. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can choose to walk in peace in spite of what you see, in spite of what they say, in spite of what might be going on, in spite of the fact of what happened to Billy Joe. It doesn't matter what happened to Billy Joe. It doesn't matter about anything else. It just says, God, I will give you my peace. And he's not a man that he should lie. When we understand this place of peace, we understand a spiritual force that gives us the ability to be slipperier than the enemy's ability to grab onto you. Just like a greased pig, man. You never try to catch it. I just dart right on out. So then he's trying to put his hands on me, and no, he ain't going to have a choice. Hallelujah. You have to understand that peace also becomes an aggressive weapon. When you're walking in peace, now you can make a stand for what's right. Now you can make a stand and know that inside, I'm good. Inside, I'm good. Because I'm walking in peace. Is you can now become offensive towards the enemy, recognizing that he doesn't really have any right to you any longer. When you walk in peace, you don't believe that just because you're doing something from God, the enemy has a right to you. Because, see, the peace wells up within you to know I have the right to walk in what God has called me to walk in. I have the ability to walk in what he called me to do. And his peace is my reward. You see, his peace is a reward. Joy becomes a spiritual authority to move your problem. A spiritual authority to move your problem. Joy is that which comes into your life when you come into a place of joy. There's a natural praise that erupts. And when praise erupts, the enemy has to back off. When praise erupts, and the enemy has no more he can do with you because he has somewhere he has to go, and that's away. Because joy will bring an end to sorrow, grief, and mourning. Joy will bring an end and cut off those things. It's hard to be in self-pity when you have joy in your life. It's hard to be in depression when there's joy in your heart. So the antidote to those things is to step into his joy, knowing that joy is like bringing light into the darkness. The darkness has to flee. You want to bring light into that darkness, begin to get a little joy in your life. You know, and it's okay. Even if, and recognize joy will look different in different people. You know, some people, they're just bubbly laughing on and all that stuff, and they're just that effervescent thing. But you know what? You can have joy in your life without that effervescence. Both are good. But joy can actually be something that just overwhelms you and convinces and convicts your heart of the presence of God in your life. When it convinces and convicts your heart of the presence of God in your life, that joy will often be something that actually takes you into a period of weeping, not because you're weeping because you're sad, but because you're weeping because there's such an overflow of God's love on your life. And it has to come out somewhere. And when it comes out somewhere, you just don't always get the choice about being big and tough, okay? Because it just comes out. But see, when you get joy on your life, it begins to change. It begins to change your understanding of the circumstance. It's something you can actually set aside and send it into the circumstance. Darkness, depression, sorrow, grief, mourning. None of those things will stand in the presence of joy. None of those things will stand in the presence of joy, because joy will transform their very nature and bring it into the light. Joy begins to bring forth hope. And out of hope, faith is established. Joy will break off the things that have caused hurt and disappointment. And it brings forth a hope for a new day. A hope for a new day. A hope for what God has already created. A hope for what God has already said. Because see, you are His craftsmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus for good, benevolent, profitable works that He already did ahead of time for you to walk in them. When we understand that, we understand what joy can bring to our life. Hallelujah. Glory.